Morning, everyone. I'm Nate. I am the idiot from the Northwest that is wearing a sweater when it's 90 degrees out, so. I subtitled my talk, Can Poop Give Us What We Need? And let me give you a little bit of an outline for the direction of my talk. I'll first couple a little bit of history and the impetus for this project, define some of these objectives, look at the methods to this entire madness, glance at some of this preliminary data, and then kind of make some comments on the future steps that we're going to continue and sum up with some thoughts. So in the state of Washington, between the cities of Tacoma and Olympia, is Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Just off of Joint Base Lewis-McChord is Eagles Pride Golf Course, and that's a 27-hole, military-owned, civilian-run public facility that's open year-round. You might not think of the military as a driver of sustainability. I think about them as a creator of tanks. But early 2000s, Joint Base Lewis-McChord realizes that about 30 to 40% of their waste stream is organic and therefore can be recycled. So in 2006, they begin operating the Earthworks composting facility, which is on base. Fast forward to 2010, the Assistant Secretary of the Army initiated Net Zero. Net Zero is a Army-wide program where certain military installations have the goal of meeting net zero in waste, water, and energy by 2025. Joint Base Lewis-McChord, or JBLM, decides to participate in this program in the categories of waste and water. In 2014, this project is initiated to see if that compost from the Earthworks composting facility can be used on the golf course as a way to meet that waste diversion. If you'll remember, just a slide ago, I said that Eagles Pride is a 27-hole facility, so that gives us a lot of area to work with, which brings me to the first objective, is to evaluate potential field-scale study areas to give us greater statistical power on the second objective, which is assess turfgrass and soil responses to the applications of that biosolid, composted biosolid, and by determining turfgrass growth and plant and uptake, gauging soil physical responses to the additions of that organic matter, investigating the soil nutrient dynamics, and then further down the road, using molecular techniques to provide insight into that end cycling. What I didn't mention was that the waste from the waste treatment plant, they took the biosolid to mix into this product. So the first problem is, where do we place these research plots over these 27 holes? And the simple answer is to let the inherent soil properties guide that decision. We created a geographic information system. So that red line is a transect that runs down the middle of all the fairways. The yellow dots are georeference sites that are spaced on a lag, and at each one of those yellow spots, we collected different soil physical and chemical properties. So then we went into the site itself, so a fairway, and this is just an example, we did this across most of the fairways, and we created a sliding window, noted there by one, the brackets 2, 3, and 4. Each one of those sliding windows has 5 of the georeference sites in them. The number of windows is dependent upon the length of the fairway, and that was done through all the fairways. We then could look at those windows, the averages on the on those five georeference points, to compare similarities and differences. So to accommodate for the amount of research plots we wanted to install, we then combined 2 of those windows that were similar on these physical and chemical properties, and we got 3 sites. Each one of those sites is a combination of those 2 windows. So now we have a place to put the actual plots. The design is a split plot, with main plot as the fertilizer, sand as the subplot, compost as the subplot. Fertilizer was applied at 97 kilograms of N per hectare, sand roughly 33,000 kilograms per hectare, and compost roughly 47,000. The fertilizer used for this was a 22-1-18, custom blended for the golf course, 50% slow release. The compost was sieved to 3/8 for this project, and it had a C to N ratio of roughly 13. That 47,000 kilograms per hectare rate is the rate I like to call don't smother and kill it, or get close to it. So that comes out to about a quarter of an inch per application, or 0.635 centimeters. After we applied it, we use a drag mat to drag it in. And just for your reference, that's what it looks like a week later. If you remember, keep that in your mind. So we took that split plot and over those sites replicated it on those squares on the right-hand side three times. As I said, that the fertilizer was the main plot, so in the red square there, and the four squares above it that are in gray did not receive fertilizer. The subplot was the sand, indicated there by the yellow, and the white boxes show where the plots that did not receive the sand. And then on the subplot level, those plots that received compost and those plots that did not receive compost. There were 72 subplots across all three sites, and they were about 20 meters squared. We made applications, intended to make an application in the spring of 2015 because we're on their golf course using their equipment. Everything broke that first application, so we made that during the summer. We made another application in the fall of 2015, then in the spring of 2016, and just finished the final application this fall of 2016. At each one of those collection dates, we collected samples at 7 days, 14 days, and 21 days. For each one of those collection periods, we collected volumetric water content, biomass, and we'll subset from that biomass to look at tissue N. We looked at digital images, percent cover and color, and then collected soil samples to look at ammonium nitrate, total N, and total C. For the purpose of this talk, I'm just going to look at the volumetric water content and the biomass. So for that volumetric water content, we used a Field Scout TDR 300, 7.5 centimeter length probes, and 5 measurements per plot. For the biomass, we created a 0.2 meter square grid, threw that down randomly over the plots, and then used hand shears to collect that biomass. We then dried it for 48 hours at 70 degrees and weighed. So let's take a look at what we're seeing so far. Volumetric water content in the fall of 2015. No surprise, there's really no fertilizer effect. Those plots that had no sand actually showed decrease in the volumetric water compost content. And in no surprise, those plots that received the compost had a much greater response on the volumetric water content. Here's a graph showing that volumetric water content on the y-axis. On the x is time. And in the gray is composted plots, and in the yellow, the uncomposted plots. Significant difference there, pretty obvious. What happens in the spring of 2016, kind of a similar response, no effect from the fertilizer, slightly but not really significant effect from the sand, and then compost, once again, those plots receiving that compost showed an increase in that volumetric water content. And we see a very similar graph, again with the volumetric water content on the Y, and time on the X-axis, those composted plots in the gray. So what about the biomass? This gets a little slightly interesting, depending on your perspective. The biomass in the fall of 2015 is actually no fertilizer effect. We see a sand effect just by adding that sand. You see an increase in the production of that biomass and an increase. There's a compost effect, but there was also a compost by weak interaction, so I split that out and then looked at weak. And I thought this was a little bit surprising, but those plots receiving no compost actually produced more biomass in that first week. But if you remember that picture I showed you, we're putting the physical compost on the grass itself, so that's really no surprise. Over that that second collection period, then we saw the same kind of thing, though, with the plots that did not get the compost produced more biomass, and then on that last week, no difference there. Biomass again in the spring of 2016, we actually pick up a fertilizer effect there, a slight sand effect, and then there's no detectable difference between the compost and no compost plots, but they're at that higher order interaction. So I split that out and looked at that again. That first collection period, there's no difference between those composted plots and those uncomposted plots with respect to biomass production. Again, day 14, there's actually a significant difference between those plots receiving the compost and the no compost, where the no compost grew more. Day 21, no difference there. So is any of this really surprising? The response from the volumetric water content is not that surprising. The low rates that we applied to standard, at least low rates from their perspective, to see that increase, the decrease in volumetric water content was kind of surprising to me. Biomass, you know, the sand, an increase in that, I guess that's not too surprising, but I thought that the reduction over that second week with the application of the compost was something interesting. We're continuing to work on this, so we haven't gotten the soil nutrient levels back. Do those soil nutrient levels reflect those growth and the tissue data? Does that reflect the growth trends? What about percent cover and color? And this third question here is a little bit nebulous at the time until we get some of that nutrient data back. Can we take a molecular approach to investigate what is going on? After this is all done, they want to sit down and go through a decision tree because it's the military. And you might ask a question, what about phosphorus? And that we didn't do any work with phosphorus here, but it is certainly on their plate to consider if they choose to do this, that's something they're going to have to monitor. And I'm not saying they will choose this or they will not. Thank you. And any questions? Yes, sir.
Do you guys separate sand from the grass clippings for your biomass?
Yes. Yes. I have a long story about that if you want to hear it. Yes, sir.
Do you think your difference in volumetric water content is due to the salt content of the compost more than the moisture itself?
No, from my understanding, the TDR meter actually sends a wave down the length of those prongs, so that 7.5 centimeters, and measures the resistance as the wave comes back up, which is calibrated to, deionized water and then air. So I don't think it has anything to do with the salt. I think it has to do with that layer of organic matter then, you know, causing the wave to be slowed down, per se. Yes, sir?
The basic goal with the military applying biosolids and compost is to get rid of it, right? So this is like a disposal.
Yes. Yeah, that's the simplest way to get it.
So when you're being, utilizing the golf course as a disposal grounds for this, one of the things about golf courses, especially on fairways, is you want to be able to hit good shots and you want to have a good, firm surface.
Yes, so that's a great question, and we actually went out to use a Clegg in this last application at the end of all this to see if there were differences. It broke. So we are sending it off to get fixed and then recalibrated, and I'm going to go out in the spring and take Clegg readings to see if there's a difference there.
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you.